Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
And she's like, it's not that weird. And I was like, oh, no, it's weird.
Welcome, everyone, to the Gravity Beard Podcast. We're recording today in Studio A. Thank you, as always, to our listeners. We appreciate your continued support. Hello, everyone. I'm Toph. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time to listen, oh man, do we have a treat for you. Today is another installment of Bad Date Stories, and I'm very excited about our guest. As you may already know, Gravity Beard is part of the Podfix Network, and today's guest is the co-host of another show on the network. It's Dave of Super Movie Rose. Welcome, Dave. Thanks for being here.
The host. I am the host.
Oh, should I say that again?
No, I'm kidding. I'm just a dick. I'm just a dick to my co-host, and I always want to keep him down as much as possible. So even when I'm on other people's pods, I'm going to take my shots at him whenever I can.
Dave has a show called Super Movie Bros, and he's such a nice guy that he lets another guy come along when he's in a good mood.
most of the time. Yeah, I actually add two others, and we have a four-way for movie cocktails every now and then.
Well, terrific. Well, whichever. Thanks for being here tonight.
I'm very happy to be here. I've been waiting to get something out for a long time.
Good. Well, hopefully this will be an appropriate platform for that. So now when we were discussing this, you said that you had more than one story. Will you be telling all of them or just one in particular?
No, I mean, I think I'll stick to one in particular. I mean, I could tell the one about how my child was conceived with a lesbian, or I can tell the one, you know, that I'm going to tell tonight. I don't want to spoil anything with that. You know, I had a really bad time in my like mid to late 20s, and most interactions with females was bad dates.
Well, this will be a sweet adventure of Schadenfreude for the rest of us then.
Yes.
Well, you're welcome to tell more than one, or if you choose, you're always welcome to come back and tell the others.
I mean, so I could just really start where everything started, and you might get like a glimpse of some of the other stories, and then I'll get into this main one that is it honestly creeped me out to this day. Like, I still kind of shudder when I think about what happened that ended the date.
Well, then here's what we'll do. If you want to allude to some other stories, that's fine. Don't give any spoilers, because I do want to leave the door open for you to come back and tell them.
Absolutely.
Great. Okay. Why don't you get started telling your story then?
All right. So sometime around 2012.
Hey guys, I'm here too. It's me, Chris. I'm sorry.
What? What is this?
I'm here too. Can I play?
Ah. Okay. I almost forgot. My apologies to the listener. We actually do have a second guest on today's show. He appears on a show that's also part of the Podfix Network. It's called More Gooder Than. It's hosted by Donnie Carr and Corey Sasso. Terrific show. And Chris, I guess you're on there too?
Sometimes.
He just runs the social media over there.
That's all I do.
That's all it does.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, one thing I will say this, and Dave, sorry for the interruption.
No problem.
I've done some recent research. There's approximately 500,000 active podcasts out there today. I think Chris has been on all but 14 of them.
I mean, that sounds accurate. That sounds right.
Okay, I mean, all I'm saying is you like to guest on shows, right?
I do like to guest on shows. Like Dave, I used to get, I get around, so.
Fair enough. And Chris,
round, I get around.
And Chris, you've actually been on this show before.
It was one of my first guest spots ever. We talked about the Dallas Cowboys versus the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, and how did that turn out, if you remember?
There was two parts. That there was first part, you guys won. And then the second part, it was right after that glorious that glorious playoff game that was just like quite possibly one of the best games of all time, where we came out victorious.
So yeah, I don't actually remember that second part.
Do you remember that one? Is that a fever dream as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I don't like it. It didn't even happen. So question for you. Now, did you also have a bad date story that you wanted to tell, or are you just going to be the third wheel like you are in your own show?
I don't know. Like, I have bad date stories just like everyone else does. I guarantee you it won't be as bad as Dave's though. I haven't even heard this. I have yet to hear the story, but I already know. Like, there's no way. Mine's worse. So
okay, well then let's do this. Dave's gonna go first because he's the guest, and then you can go if we don't run out of time. How does that sound?
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
Would that be okay?
That sounds great.
Very well. Now that we get that out of the way, Chris, I guess thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Okay, good. let's get started. Dave, back to you.
Sure. So sometime around 2012, I was an engaged man. And several weeks before the wedding, I was no longer engaged. So she
we're already off to a bad start, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So she wound up leaving me for a security guard at the hospital she worked at. Big dreams, that one. Huge dreams. She wanted to move up in the world. She now lives somewhere about 50 miles outside of Bangor, Maine. And if you know anything about 50 miles outside of Bangor, Maine, that means it's absolutely the ass end of nowhere. So she got her comeuppance. There's moose in her front yard. I don't have to deal with that shit.
ultimate in your face is getting moose in your front yard.
Yeah, ultimate in your face. Just like, hey, how do you love them tick? How do you love them tick-ridden moose that you got up there? Those meeses all over the place.
Those are disgusting animals.
Yeah, the wicked hardcore animals up there too. Anyway, that kind of sent me on like this little bit of like a tailspin. I didn't really know what to do with myself. I stayed mostly to myself for a long time. And then someone's just like, hey, man, you should get out there. I was around 25 or 26 years old. And I tried to go back to like the bar scene and stuff like that and hang out. That's where my good friend Jay came in, the co-host of my show. He became kind of like this hangout buddy that I had. We would go out and stuff. And I just wound up being a wingman for him all the time because he can't talk to women. So, but I have no shame. I really don't care what people think about me. So I would just walk up to any woman, most of them far more beautiful than I was, and I would talk to them, and then I would just set Jay up, and then I would go home, masturbate quietly in my bed so my parents didn't hear, because I still lived at home at this point.
How do you masturbate loudly?
If you're doing it right, you do.
Okay.
So I started Mom, I need tissues. Mom, the tissues, please. Anyway, so I got into like that whole online dating scene, you know, Plenty of Fish, Okay Cupid. I didn't go for Tinder. Tinder really wasn't a huge thing then. But I
didn't hear you mention farmersonly.com.
Oh no, that's what my ex did when she moved up to fucking middle of nowhere, Maine.
That's how she ended up being engaged to a moose.
To a moose, yeah, on the border of Canada.
You know, I gotcha.
So I went on like a series of dates. You know, one was a woman with like three kids, and like when I met up with them, the kids immediately became attached to me. That was super strange. Our first sex was an awkward one, so that's a story for another time. and then I had just several other bad dates. You know, silver lining to it, a bad date that I had that ended up, you know, in a good way, my wife came out of this time period as well. So praise to that. But in between then, I had this bad date that I'm going to talk about, and I did knock up a lesbian and have a child with her. So
hey, don't be too hard on yourself. Who hasn't done that?
Who hasn't, right? Who hasn't?
I mean, look out that window. The line forms to the left.
I haven't.
Chris is like, never been down that road. It's the road that it's the road you take that when you see a fork in it, and you wonder which way you should have went, it was the other way.
You look back and you're like, it's really clear now.
Yeah, it's clear. I went the wrong way. love my daughter, though. She's actually sleeping nestled quietly in the room, you know, directly behind this podcast that I'm recording. So if you hear me be a little bit quiet, Chris might have to bump up my audio. But so one date that I ended up going on, the bad date story that I'm going to tell this time, is I was just searching around. I got a message. She actually messaged me, which in the dating world, if you're a guy and she messages you, you're either extremely good looking, extremely well hung, or you know, you have pictures of yourself rich with money. I had none of those, which meant she was crazy. But I was too desperate. Wait,
you're two out of three of those.
I am not. I am not. I am none of those. So that autumn,
you do host a podcast though, so that's cool.
I do. A nowhere near mildly successful podcast. Like if there's
yeah, well, join the club, don't we all?
Yes, don't we all? All of the Podfix Network is made up of that, with the exception of the third banana over there. I think his is slightly more successful than my own. But
Slightly.
I don't have a nan. That's my problem. I gotta get a nan.
God, who does except for his show?
Everyone needs a nan.
Everyone needs a nan. Absolutely agree.
My grandmother is still rocking AOL dial-up, man, so she has no clue how to even listen to this. That's why I'm free to talk about such things as I am tonight. So this girl messaged me, and she lived in Center City, Philadelphia, and that's kind of where I hung out, so I knew about the area, and I was like, okay, she looked really, really fucking cute in her picture. We talked for a little while over about a week or so. We decided to schedule a date that we would meet up. I told her to select a bar. She selected like a neighborhood bar that was like right near her house in Northern Liberties, which is like North Philly, really nice hipster area. So I go down there, and I meet her at her door, and she opens the door, and let's just get it out of the way. Everybody lies about how they look like online, and she 100% was a lie. She did all those downward angle shots, where it's like you hide all the stuff that's not good about yourself, like underneath, your face, which her face wasn't bad, and her enormous rack, and then everything else I couldn't see, right? So everything below that was larger proportion than what my brain was expecting. But
I feel like that's a kind way to phrase what you just said.
I'm trying to be, because honestly, we talked, we had good conversations and stuff like that. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to hang out with her because she seemed so fucking awesome. So I'm going to hang out with her. I'm going to see where this goes. So we go to this bar. And the weird part was, so she knew I liked craft beer, so she wanted to go to like a local bar that had craft beer, and we played pool for a little bit, and then it came time to like have a little bit of food. I asked her if she wanted to go to a restaurant. She said no, eat here, they got great food. I ended up having like stewed rabbit.
Oh wow!
Wait, what?
Yeah. So it turned out that this bar only served like game meat, and this was all stuff that they caught locally. So
what? In North Philly?
I don't even ask. Well, I mean, you can travel 20 minutes and you're in farmland from Philadelphia. Oh,
okay.
So
all right.
it's not too bad. But
I just had this vision of like the barkeep running around the alleys trying to catch rabbit for the stew.
It was all like, turtle, and then like rabbit and venison and like just all stuff that you can. And they, honest to God, they had squirrel on the menu. So it was such a weird place. But like,
that is
I was
exotic.
Like,
I no longer care about the date. I just want to know how the food was.
Actually, the rabbit stew was absolutely amazing. Like, wow. It was amazing. But we hung out there for like 3 or 4 hours. And then like a bunch of her friends showed up, and it kind of got awkward, right? I mean, you know that feeling, like when you're with someone, you're kind of clicking like a little bit, you're having a good time, and then you kind of get like pushed off to the side because people they know, and you don't know them, so you're not going to sit there and be in with all the in jokes that they're fucking cracking up about and shit.
Sure.
So you just kind of sit there, and after a while, like they were like whispering and kind of like giggling and stuff like that, and I was like, I was ready to leave. And then she finally was like, all right, well, we're going to get out of here. And I was like, okay. So we went to leave. I was like, well, what do you want to do? She goes, you know what? I have a great, I have a great rooftop deck that like has a great view of the city and stuff like that. And I knew exactly where this was leading. And I was like, you know what? All right, this is happening. I'm going to get laid on a roof. That sounds amazing. So we get back to her place. We make out a little bit in front of her house, and then we go inside, and when I get inside, like, I swear to God, Edgar Allan Poe was her interior decorator. It was so macabre. It was so gothic, like, inside there. But that's not how she dressed or gave off that vibe at all.
How interesting.
Right. And so we go in there, but I'm into some of that stuff. Like, so it didn't like freak me out at first, but then like a good haunted house, as you went up the stairs, it just got like weirder and weirder. So,
oh, wow. Wait. Well, elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay, so like as you go up, first off, the stairwell was painted black, which is automatically weird for like a living area, you know.
Unless you're a serial killer.
Yeah. So, but then we start going up, and then she has like literally just like candles like that are drilled into the wall, and like the candles are all like melty and like dripping, but they were lit. Like she left the house with candles lit. Like honest to God, left the house with f***ing candles lit.
So, is there somewhere in the story where she reveals that she's a vampire?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Wow.
Yes. This is even better than I could have ever imagined.
Me too.
So we get up the stairs, and in Philly homes, there's like the living, there's a basement, there's a living quarters. I never saw the basement, so don't ask me what was in there.
Well, I mean, like, obviously it was a dungeon.
There's a living room and like kitchen area, and then there's the stairs that lead up, and there's usually two bedrooms on the second floor, another like bedroom and bathroom on the third floor, and then you go up to like the roof.
Sure.
So so we're up to the second floor now, and in one room there is she must have been like, I never figured out what she did for a living, but she must have been like some sort of an artist, because there was like one of those mannequins that you would see at Macy's or Sears or anywhere else, but it had like, It looked like the Hell's Angels had gotten a hold of it. Like it was spray painted and like things were written all over it and stuff like that. And she's like, oh yeah, I bought that on the street. And I was like, you bought that like with money? Why? So we keep going like a little bit further, and there was, and she claims that, you know, it, none of this stuff was hers, but there was a very similar to 50 Shades-esque like dungeon room, and she's like, I'm not into that, that's someone else's. Don't.
She had roommates.
Yeah she's like,
she's attributing some of the stuff to the roommates.
Yeah, don't pay attention to that at all. And I was like, okay, all right, sounds good. So then
only paying attention to that, like that's it.
Right. Okay, so Dave, just one question at this point.
Chris is like clapping his hands, he's like, give me the gimp outfit, I'm ready.
I haven't heard you say anything that indicates that you were you had discovered anything where you were like, I'm out, where you were going to leave. Like, you're still in.
I'm still in.
That's remarkable.
Did I mention how depressed and
okay,
and needy,
all right,
I was at this time?
Fair enough.
I feel like that's why I had this. That's why I had to give the whole setup to how I got to here.
Because sure.
You see, at this point, I probably hadn't had sex in a good couple months, you know.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So we get to the second floor, and the second floor is like her living area, and it's actually like, it's clean, and the walls are painted like bright colors, and she has like a bookshelf and stuff like that. Like if you Googled
fancy.
If you Googled a picture of like hipster apartment, like it that's what her upstairs looked like, and she had the whole upstairs to herself. And it was. And I was like, oh, all right, we're back in. Like, everything's fine. She's like, do you like whiskey? And I was like, yeah. So she goes into a room. She pours us both bourbon. And we go up to the roof. We hang out up there for a while. Finish our bourbon. And then she starts, like, asking me. She's just like, so you're having a good time with me? And I was like, yeah. And she's just like, I hope that stuff down there doesn't freak you out too much. And I was like, no. Well, you know, you said it's not yours. None of that stuff really bothers me.
Right. Like, I'm going to take you at your word that you're saying that's true.
to each their own. That's what I said. And she's just like, God, doesn't the city look great up here? And by the way, it was like December, so it was probably like 30 some degrees. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, God, I'm so cold. And so she got on the chair with me, which we both barely fit on it. and then she started making out. And then she took off her shirt, like up there, like on the roof, as if she didn't know it was going to be freezing cold. And I mean, everything just kind of like went down, like just down when the shirt came off. So like boobs down to the waist. And I was like, oh
dear
God. But you went this far, Dave. You went this far.
So you feel like at this point you were pot committed.
You're already in. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was it. I was hoping for a royal flush. Maybe the roommate with the stuff will come home. Maybe the roommate with the BDSM fetish will come home and we'll have an amazing BDSM threesome or something. It'll be a good story at least. And good story turned bad. We decided to go downstairs back into her room. And she asked me if I wanted another glass of whiskey. And I said, sure. And she said, well, she's like, it's good. That's good.
And you said,
she's
make like, it a double.
So she's like, because I got something I need to ask of you. And I was like, okay. And she's like, so she starts asking me, have you ever heard of a clone of Willie?
Wait, what?
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what she asked me. Have you ever heard of a clone of Willie? And I said, no. She goes, okay. A clone of Willie is a kit that you buy online and you pour plaster into a cylinder and then you put that cylinder
over okay, now I get it.
Over your penis.
What?
And then it hardens. And then we make a mold of your penis. And I was
what?
Okay. And she's like, I just do this with everybody. She's like, it's for a project I'm working on. Don't ask.
I just do this with everybody.
Lies! She's like, are you willing to do that? And I was like, I don't know. And she opens up her closet and no lie, in her closet is just rows, like a whole shelf against the back wall. And I kid you not, at least 25 to 30 molded dicks.
What in the world?
So hold on. Each one of them have a wick sticking out of them. And I realized
a dick wick?
She molds them into candles. What do you think was burning on the stairwell?
No.
Dick
oh
candles.
Oh my goodness.
So I mean this woman has hundreds.
So I'm sitting there and I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, so like why do you do this? She's like, it's for a project I'm working on. She's like, it's a whole thing. Don't worry about it. And I was like, no. And I just looked at her and I went, you take trophies. Like, this is what serial killers do.
Yeah.
Like, serial killers take trophies.
Like, you said, yeah, that's what you said.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah. I went off. I was like, this is not happening. Like, this is not, like, it's not normal. This is not okay. This is not, it's not something you ask on a first date. It's just not. It's just not.
Okay, so, Dave, which date would you ask that on where you'd be like, sure, Clone of Willie sounds good tonight?
The date that happens right after you guys moved in together.
Then you're willing to clone your willies.
And you're just like, hey, all these candles look like penises. I just noticed that.
I haven't gotten there. Yeah. I haven't gotten there yet. So I'm sitting there and I'm kind of like going off a little bit because like at this point it's just like, it's clearly like a thing. Like she's. I couldn't figure out whether like she was taking psychology or she was an artist or what. And this was like her social experiment where she sees what guys she can get online and then molds their dick and then, I don't know, keeps them as trophies and then like figures out just how depraved like the male is. And I sat there thinking, like, how did 30 different guys like decide to do this? 37 in a row. No, I'm kidding.
Well, plus the candles on the stairwell, too.
Exactly. So I'm right. Sitting there and I'm just like, and there's at least five or six on the stairwell. So I'm just like, no, I am out. And she's like, and I'm the villain. Like I'm the villain in this story.
You're the bad guy
in her mind. Yeah. I'm the bad guy. And she's like, it's not that weird. And I was like, no, it's weird. And I explained to her again, like, this is like in my mind, you get my dick, I die. Like you're going to kill me. Like that's and I went to school for psychology. I went to school for forensic psychology. So I studied serial killers. So
if you did the opposite, say like, oh, I want to take a casting of your breasts right now, but like this is on our first date. I want to take a mold. I want to cast your breasts in bronze.
I already told you. They dragged down to her waist. It would have been far too expensive.
I'm just saying. If you did the opposite. You would definitely be a serial killer. I'm just saying, like that would be a huge red flag to anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Instead of her being Eileen Werner, suddenly I would be Ted Bundy. Yeah, yeah. I get that, but
yeah.
But she's just not understanding why I'm so upset. And I said, you know what? That's fine. You don't need to understand. I'm leaving.
That was a fair response on your part.
And no lie, she stood up. Oh, by the way, she's still shirtless this whole time.
What?
Such an awkward conversation now.
Yeah. And she stands in front of the door. And it's like this thing. Like, I'm a little kid now, and I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to hit her. I don't want to knock her over.
She's blocking you from leaving.
She's blocking me from leaving. She's standing in front of the door.
Oh, that's horrible.
And it becomes one of those things where, like, I try to go, like, to the side, and she kind of, like, steps over. And then I try to go down low, and she, like, widens her legs and stuff like that to, like, not let me out. I ended up, like, going, like, between her legs, crawling on all fours, like, scrambling.
Oh, that's horrible. You're just army crawling it out of there. Just survive. You gotta, to win the war, you gotta survive the battle. Just like,
just survive somehow. Just
that's
survive.
Incredible.
So as I'm like running down the stairs, she's just kind of like shouting things at me, and I'm not paying attention anymore. I'm just not.
Do you remember anything she was shouting at you?
No. I didn't hear it. I didn't care. I was done. We just had an argument about how it's not weird for her to take the most personal part of my body and just keep it for herself. Like, I'm just ready to go. I'm just so done. And by the time when I'm running down the stairs, as I am looking at those candles, as I'm going out, they all were just burnt down to the ball sack. They were all ball sacks.
God.
Clearly ball sacks. Like, just clearly ball sacks down.
Incredible.
That's the worst day ever.
The shaft had melted down. And I get out the door, and I shut the door, and I get in my car, and I go home. And luckily, I mean, we never exchanged numbers. Everything we did was through Messenger on, I believe it was OkCupid. And I think we used Kik as like a messenger for each other.
I think it turns out it was not OkCupid.
Yeah. So this was not OkCupid. Yeah. We were like a 98% match too. Go figure.
What does that say about you?
Incredible.
So I'm leaving, and she's like messaging me like the whole time, and she's just like, I think you get the wrong idea about what I was trying to do. And I was like,
nope.
That conversation lasted a good 5 or 6 minutes, me and her back and forth, and at no point did she give me any good explanation why that had to happen.
No, and so, no matter what the reason for her wanting it, there was still going to be plaster surrounding your private parts.
Right.
And then it was going to be turned into a candle.
And then it was going to be turned into a candle. And it's just like before you burn them, do you use them? Like, what is this? Like, is this your... And don't get me wrong. At no point am I slut-shaming her. If she slept with all 38, 9, 40 of those guys, I don't care about that. What matters is you're taking a trophy of your conquest. That's like if I had one-night stands and I clipped a lock of a woman's hair before she left every morning. Ugh.
Right. Just super creepy. Okay, so right. let's just take one brief detour and talk amongst ourselves. What reason is it possible? What would the reason be that she could give you where you'd come around and be like, "All right, I'll do this."
It's for charity. Let's say she was saying it was for charity day. Would you?
There's no charity. It's for testicular cancer research.
Yeah, there you go.
Like we give these
dick cancer.
We give these candles out at Children's Hospital. No, I mean, honestly, I think if she was like, no, notice that they're all, you know, that they're all, you know, brown, and I put a little mustache on them, they're all for testicular cancer or prostate cancer. I'd be like, oh, well, no, but I would have considered it longer.
Dave, what if she was incredibly good looking?
No, I still wouldn't have done it. I mean,
really?
Still.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I'm still, not saying I would. I just wanted to see if we could push you to the point where she said something where you're like, yeah, let's do this.
Oh, there was a, like, if she was like, no, I mean, all right, if you do it, my roommate will join us. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you hadn't seen a roommate yet, so I don't know if I'd go so quickly into that.
Well, I mean, I had an idea, and I was like, you know what? There's a suicide girl around here somewhere. She lives here.
All right. Fair enough. Thanks for indulging me. You can continue.
So she messaged me, and I ignored all messages for a long time. And interestingly enough, she reached out to me like months later, and was just like, hey, I'm really sorry about how everything went down. She's like, could you give me another shot? No. No. Like, in what world? No.
Upon further reflection.
Knows? Who knows how big your penis collection is now?
God, what a great point. That I think that's all you needed to do was reply and see how much. Just respond with how much bigger is it now?
Oh no, I don't. I had decided at that point that she was a bit touched by the devil, or you know, she had a demon or two in her closet, right? She probably had some sort of mental disability, is what I'm assuming.
Now, why do you think that?
It's the devil.
I did mention that I have my master's in forensic psychology and I studied criminal psychology for a living. So it's not something that someone normally just asks of somebody. It's just not.
Fair enough.
So there's some sort of psychosocial disconnect between her and what's socially acceptable. I did say dick connect. Yeah. So I was just not interested in going down that road like at all. And if you say anything back to a person like that, you just let them back in and you get sucked back in. So just
that's
ignore
a good point.
It. Yeah. Just ignore it and let it go. And I haven't heard about anything since.
And how long ago was this?
This would have been, let's see, sometime in
2012, right?
2013 or probably early 2013. It would have been December 2012. Yeah, you're right. So it would have been December 2012.
Nailed it.
That's
it
was not just that far in the past, Dave.
It was just before January. So,
wow.
So yeah, discuss amongst yourselves, guys.
I mean, I gotta say, Dave, that's quite a story.
Yeah,
I told you I had a good one.
I mean, it's.
To this day, I have not found anyone who's been able to beat my bad date story. Like at the bar, hanging out, talking to people, just came from a bad date. Oh yeah, how much of your dick did she clone?
Yeah, like that. That's the Trump right there. That's the Trump. Well, I will say this, Dave. I consider myself, at least on a small level, the keeper of the bad date story. We've done several of these, and if this was a competition, I agree. I think you might have won. I think you might have yes. run away with this.
That's great. It's great. Unfortunately, none of it is fiction.
There was no embellishment at all.
No. So the interesting thing that like that makes
there's me, an interesting you
know,
part
more interesting. The thing that like scares me the most is I've allowed my wife to do this.
That's different. That's in the marriage bed.
It's exactly.
Yeah, there's.
But I have to look at that. I have to look at that thing and then have flashbacks, like Vietnam flashbacks. Charlie's in the trees. My dick's in the drawer.
Or on the stairwell.
Wow. Well, like when the power goes out in bad weather situations, out comes the candle.
Out comes and you the have candle. To read. You have to read by it.
This is why we needed Chris on. Do you hear that laugh in the background?
Yes,
you hear that? That's why
indeed.
Chris had to be here.
There's no doubt.
It's too good.
There's no accident.
Oh man, it's so good. Well, hey, Chris, when you come into Bakersfield, just know that I'll have a nice kit waiting for you to remember you by that you can.
Yes, please. Please.
So later on when I can light a candle in remembrance of you when you leave.
Well, Dave, man, I don't have any comments or questions. All I can say is that's quite an amazing story, and I'd have to go think back over the stories we've told on the show. But I certainly, I don't think we can top that. So that was a fantastic story.
Somewhere right now, there is a young man reaching out to someone on a dating app, and he will beat this story. It's out there. I know it is.
Yeah, maybe.
Or a young woman. Well, because let's face it, guys can be creepier, way creepier than women. Like just by nature, like we can just come off as more creepy.
I agree.
So I mean, I feel like every woman has like a real bad date story. But if they tell that real bad date story to men, that we all go, that's not so bad. You know? But when a guy has a bad date story, you know there was something seriously wrong.
Oh, I absolutely agree. No, I think you've set the new bar, and that bar is very high. So thank you very much for coming on and sharing that story.
Now let us never speak of it again.
And now let's immortalize it forever.
Yeah, now it's going to be out on the internet for sure. For all the public to hear.
Yes, it will be.
All seven of my listeners are going to enjoy that.
No, you might have 10, because three of mine will come over and listen to.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. And therein lies the power of the network.
Exactly.
Hotfix.
So, thank you.
I just hope one of those isn't my dad, who's my show's biggest fan.
Hey, once it's on tape, I'm not responsible. It's out there.
Although my dad did hear the story about us going to New York while my friend was tripping on acid the whole time and winding up getting put face down on the ground by the National Guard. So,
wow, Dave, thanks again for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
And Chris, you were here too.
Thanks, man.
So thanks for that.
You're welcome. Oh, by the way, you're both out of the network. You're gone. You're gone.
That's right, dude. We already decided. We're all joining Beard Pod now.
Pod Beard. We're joining Pod Beard.
Yeah, I kind of stole my thunder, Dave. I was just about to announce the news or the new network. That's okay. It's still fun. No, Dave, before we go, why don't you tell everybody about your show and where to find you out in the world?
Sure. Super Movie Bros podcast on iTunes and most podcatchers. You can also check us out on Twitter at Super Movie Pod on there. We do a weekly show that is about, you know, modern movie stuff, current event stuff with movies. And then we also do a retrospective show once a month called Movie Cocktail, where the fans vote on a movie, and we make an original cocktail for that film and then discuss the film at length on a podcast. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really fun and really creative. Okay, Chris, I suppose I'll let you do the same.
Nah, man, I'm good. No. Obviously, all three of us are part of the Podfix Network. Dave just finished up his round of his Podfix Presents show, which is the collective productions of the entire Podfix Network. All of us have like passion projects, or we have just these ideas that we didn't want to dedicate an entire feed to. We focus that energy into Podfix Presents. So Dave just finished his, which was A Certain Point of View. Fantastic show, especially for those that know more about Star Wars than the average viewer. Like, I'm a filthy casual when it comes to Star Wars. Dave is the opposite of whatever a filthy casual is. And then right now we have, actually on Podfix Presents, we have Duty from Shaken Not Nerd and my show called Bric-a-Brac, which is an in-depth look into the world of Lego. Anybody that knows me knows how much I love Lego, and Duty is of the same mind. We have, how many shows do we have now? Every single one of them is fantastic. Including my show, More Gooder Than Podcast. You can find us at MGT Podcast and MGT Podcast on Twitter. Our website is mgtpodcast.com. We're available on all podcatchers. That's it.
All right, great. Well, now for the credits. You can listen to the Gravity Beard Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or anywhere else you consume podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at TheGravityBeard. Email us at contactthebeard@gmail.com or interact with us and other indie pods. Actually, we've got over 1,700 members now in the Underdog Podcast community on Facebook. We definitely want to hear from you in one of those places. If you got at least $1 worth of entertainment from today's episode, and surely you did after listening to Dave's story, please consider supporting us via Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/gravitybeard for more details. Our music is by Silent Partner. All of their stuff can be found on the YouTube audio library. Until next time, this is Gravity Beard. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
No matter what the reason for her wanting it, there was still going to be plaster surrounding your private parts.
And then it was going to be turned into a candle.
And then it was going to be turned into a candle.
But say she was saying it was for charity day, would you?
It's for testicular cancer research.
Yeah, there you go.
We give these candles out at Children's Hospital. Unfortunately, none of it is fiction.
I no longer care about the date. I just want to know how the food was.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more Audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following at Podfix on Twitter, official_Podfix on Instagram, at Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved. Ha ha!